Afere, welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Tech. This is a bonus episode because we are going to finish talking about Star Aligner Druid. It's a very short episode, probably less than 10 minutes. There's really not much left to talk about. If you want to know more about the deck, obviously refer to my previous episode, which we talked in great detail about Star Aligner Druid. But here we're just going to finish off the rest of the list. So the remaining cards on the list after Medivh, which is where we left off, is Avion, Akun, and Ultimate Infestation. Those cards are all pretty straightforward. Obviously, you need them for the combo. So obviously, the combo is Avion into Akun, refresh 10 mana crystals into your 7/7, which is the Medivh, and into your Star Aligners or your Bran into Star Aligners, right? The one thing about this combo is it really does require many of the board states, anywhere between 6 to 7 spaces on the board. So you need to keep that in mind. You need to make sure you trade creatures off correctly before you use your Star Aligners, because obviously they're going to wipe the board. So trade off smaller minions and make sure that if you have a hand that's going to require to use every board space, that you play your spells before Medivh. Right, because Medivh, if you play a spell, ATS will proc, it will put a creature on the board, will block you out from things on the board. And if you play something like a Wild Growth, there's a chance you get a Doomsayer, which, you know, obviously feels really bad, right? Unless you're going to win on that turn. So, yeah, that keep those in mind. It's pretty simple, though. Other things are, like, sometimes you can get away with, say you're challenging... Tempo Mage and they have a secret up, like a Potion of Polymorph maybe, or, you know, you don't know what the secret up is and you're just trying to play around it. Or maybe they're playing, what is that deck called? A Warlock, and they've hit your Kun with a Demonic Project. Then sometimes it's okay to play Avion just straight from the hand, and the next turn using Flabidinous Flute as a 4-mana Avion to get your combo off, you know? So the deck is very versatile. Like, obviously, cards like Dirty Rat, Demonic Project, Potion of Polymorph, Explosive Runes, those are real cards. And they do require you to play around them most of the time. But this deck is very resilient, and it can win many games. If you go to my Twitter, you'll see random games that I win, and often they're not even with the combo at all. They're just, you know, me swinging for lethal. It's a pretty good deck. Couldn't have Forgotten King. Obviously, you want to combo this out. I think there will be some situations where you know you're not going to get the combo out and you just need to stay alive, that you can throw it out there for 10 armor, you know, just to put you out of range of like a pyro or something, especially if you're threatening lethal in the next 2 or 3 turns. But most of the time, you're using them for the mana refresh. And then we have one Ultimate Infestation to round out the top. And that's just simply because in times where you just draw all ramp, your hand does get small, and you will need an Ultimate Infestation to refuel it. But those times are few and far between. Most of the time, you've got a hand of anywhere between 8 to 10 cards. So... that's why we're only running one copy. UI is still a strong card, so I like having at least one in a deck. It's a Druid. If you're not playing the, like, literally one of the best Druid cards, it just feels bad, you know? So that's the deck. One card that has changed is I have re-included Lotheb. So we're going to talk a little bit about Lotheb before we go on to how you can beat the deck, okay? And the thing about Lotheb is the battle cry is so strong. So let me tell you, like, one common situation you'll find is that some decks, they just armor out of range of the combo. So maybe 44 damage, maybe 56 damage, whatever. It's just not enough. You know, you cannot kill them with the combo. Or if you would, it requires, you know, you need to find a Bran, or you need to find an Ancient Brewmaster, like one more copy of the bounce effect, right? But Lotheb allows you to go off without that. So typically what I like to do is if I have Bran, I make sure that on the end of my combo turn, I have space for Lotheb. Because if I drop Lotheb with Bran on the board, that means my enemy spells cost 10 more. So that locks my enemy out of casting anything but creatures. Now remember, the Starliner combo clears the board of all creatures, right? It's doing anywhere between 7 to 40 some damage, or 7 to 28 damage, right, on the board. So nothing is surviving that, okay? Now with Lotheb on the board, that means my opponent is facing down my board that has anywhere between, well, what's the math here? It's like 21, like anywhere between 40 plus damage on board, right? So, and now they have no spells. Like, they can't play any spells for that turn. So pretty much, even if you can't find lethal with the actual OTK combo turn, you're going to get lethal next turn if you played Lotheb. Because now Control Warrior, they can't Reckless Flurry you. They can't Brawl you. Warlock can't Twisting Nether you. Priest can't Psychic Scream you. Like, Lotheb and double activations of Lotheb really put opponents out of the game. And typically, I will always try to go for the double activation because it's just more powerful. It just clearly locks them out. For instance, yesterday I had a game versus a Warlock who he hit one of my Starliners with a demonic project, and I was able to get the rest of the combo pieces pretty early, which was only one Starliner and no Bran, and he was at like 20 something, and I just played it out with just one Starliner doing 7 damage, and then I played double Lotheb. I played one Lotheb, and then I played the Flippin's Floop as the second Lotheb. So now he's facing the 8, 7, 15, 21, like 27 damage on board just from regular creatures because he can't do anything. You know what I mean? He's locked out of playing anything but a creature. So the Lotheb to me is core to the deck. There are some flex spots. I would say the flex spots are like the Ultimate Infestation, the Witchwood Piper. To me, that would be flex. Some people say Biology Project is flex. I think that's possible. Everything else I think is pretty core to the deck. Things that you might want to think about playing are Naturalize. So Naturalize is a card that I am playing. I've got rid of Ancient Brewmaster, and I'm running Lotheb and Naturalize. I like Naturalize because in the mirror or versus control decks, you can maybe force them to mill something. And it's such good tempo removal. Against aggro, it's not that great, obviously. But, you know, that's why I like one copy. Other options are Dirty Rat. Dirty Rat is pretty good in the mirror. And it's good against Togwoggle. And it's probably good against a few other decks as well. And also, Dirty Rat is a card that you can keep in your hand so that if they demonic project you, you know, maybe they hit the Dirty Rat, right? So those are tech choices. Now, one of the questions, and I've seen a lot of people talk about on Twitter, is like, man, this deck is just so powerful. Like, why is this deck? This deck is broken. This deck is like Naga Sea Witch or whatever, you know? And I don't know about the comparisons there. You know, I don't know. Like, even the Naga Sea Witch decks, they were strong. And they were, I guess you could say they were meta-defining. But decks were beating them already. You know, they weren't winning all the games. And Starliner Druid, to be fair, I have a crazy-ass win rate with this deck. 80%. 80%. Okay, that's insanity. But I've still lost games. Yesterday, I lost 2 games, right? I lost one to a OTK mage, and I lost one to a warlock who, you know, demonic project my Aviana, dirty ratted a couple other pieces. So the deck has counterplay, and those decks aren't even the only counterplays to the deck. Like, if you want to beat the deck, you either build a slower deck that has answers, like mid-range or control decks that are running solutions. Solutions are Dirty Rat, Potion of Polymorph, Explosive Runes, Demonic Project, cards that disrupt the cards in your hand, right? If you're playing something slow that's not going to win in 9 to 10 turns or whatever, with ramp, then you need to have that disruption or else you're not going to win. So in a way, that is meta-defining because if you want to beat the best deck in the format, one of the best decks, you need to play a counter to it or at least cards that can disrupt it. The next thing, next option is to just go quicker than it. And I think that's just a solution that people, for some reason, seem to disregard. like Even Shaman, Odd Rogue, those decks, they can beat this deck pretty consistently. You know, just depends. I mean, sometimes Druids get broken hands. They're like, sometimes they go Wild Growth on 2, Coin Nourish on 3, you know, Double Biology Project on 4. Like, you know, those turns happen, and you can't win those games. But Druids don't always have those turns. So I think, like, really there are a bunch of different solutions. And I really think, like, decks like Secret Mage or any mage that plays Secrets give this deck trouble, because most of the time as a player, I cannot risk just throwing Aviana into a secret. I have no idea if it's Potion of Polymorph, if it's Explosive Runes, like if it's any of those cards. From that point on, now the next creature I have to drop has to be Flabidinous Flute, like if I'm trying to go the combo route. So I, you know, and basically just putting a secret on the board buys your opponent one turn, okay? One turn where you, as the Starliner player, cannot kill them. I really like secret decks versus versus this deck as a counter. Sure, Warlock has a lot of options. Warlock has Demonic Project, it has Dirty Rat, it has Bran, you know, like, obviously that synergy exists and that synergy can work. But a lot of times I think the Warlock, it just has a problem dealing with a bunch of 7/7s on board, you know? So typically, you know, like, I don't know, you need to find the correct time to play these cards, and you got to get a little lucky, right? But that is Star Aligner in a Druid, in a nutshell. It is a strong deck. It's a great deck. But yeah, definitely give it a shot. And stay tuned in the next episode. We talk about Mechathune Warrior and 3 decks that you should play for next month. Thanks for listening, guys.